all together now. This is Eleanor Lacain. The 2020 election is over and the people have spoken. Joe Biden is our president-elect and Kamala Harris is our vice president-elect. They won with over 79 million votes, the largest number ever cast for a president. But over 73 million people voted for Trump. It's concerning to me that so many fellow Americans support Trump after knowing who he is and what he stands for, as well as his colossal mismanagement of the pandemic. Usually, the losing candidate gives a concession speech and congratulates the winner, encouraging his followers to support the winner. But Trump has refused to concede that he lost. In fact, he is claiming falsely that there was voter fraud. There is no evidence of voter fraud. His lawsuits are being laughed out of court by Republican judges. But millions of Americans believe whatever Trump says, no matter how ludicrous or detached from reality. So many Republicans refuse to accept Biden as president, believing the lie that he stole the election. They don't want the nation to heal and come back together. So we are still very much a nation divided. We're facing major challenges with the pandemic, the economy, the climate crisis, racial justice, and we'll have a better chance at meeting all these challenges if we are more united. But how can we unite Americans given the circumstances? Our guest today has a unique perspective on what might bring our country together. In her 25-plus year career in state government, corporate America, and academia, as an author, professor, coach, and consultant, Dr. Kim Harvin has focused on nurturing the human spirit. She makes the case that love is the most healing power in all the world. She recognizes that these extraordinary times call for societal as well as personal healing. In her new book, The Soul of America Speaks, Wisdom for Healing and Moving Forward, Dr. Kim brings love and soul into governance, politics, and social policy, as well as our own personal journeys. She is an associate professor in the School of Business at the State University of New York, Empire State College. Dr. Kim Harvin, welcome to All Together Now.
Oh, Eleanor, it's such a joy to be here with you and your listeners.
Wonderful.
Thank you for having me.
Oh, I'm so looking forward to this, and should say in full disclosure to our listeners that you and I met at a book writing group and have become book buddies and friends. So I'm so eager to share you and your wonderful book with our listeners.
Thank you. And we should let everyone know you wrote the foreword to my book. A beautiful, beautiful foreword. Thank you.
Yes, thank you. We'll talk about that in a minute. So let's start by saying, how did you connect with the soul of America?
Eleanor, in all honesty, if someone had told me a year and a half ago I was going to write a book with the soul of America or about the soul of America or even for the soul of America, I would have said, you've got to be kidding. What are you talking about? And yet, here's how my journey began. I was at a writing retreat in York, Pennsylvania in October of 2019, a little more than a year ago, and I knew I was meant to write a book. I knew it was meant to come out in the fall of 2020. I thought it was going to be something about maybe voting with love. I wasn't sure. And the more I delved into that, I said, no, that's not it. That's not it. That's not it. And I took a break and went to my hotel room to get a sweater. And I walked in and heard an anchor person on TV. I left my TV on, obviously, saying, something about the soul of America. I think the phrase was, we're battling for the soul of America or something like that. And I'd heard it before, but it struck me uniquely. And I immediately had the thought, I wonder what the soul of America has to say. And I got this chill, and in my heart of hearts, I heard this voice say, "Why don't you ask her? She will talk with you." And of course, I was shocked, didn't quite know what it meant, but had goosebumps and got my sweater, went back down to where my laptop was, and I immediately, very quickly began typing. And these are the words that came forth. If we get quiet enough to listen, quieter than we have ever been, quieter than we knew was even possible, the soul of America will speak to us if we ask. And while that may sound like an audacious, illogical, you've got to be kidding me thought, I say only this: try it. I did. And this book is about what I heard and what I believe the soul of America is saying to all of us. And that has become the preface to my book. And that encounter with the soul of America started me on a journey of listening deeply to what she had to say and has to say, because she still speaks now. And I shortly thereafter went on a 7-day all silent retreat, me, my journals, and the soul of America. And in those 7 days of no contact with the outside world, I went through dark nights of the soul. I had glorious moments of joy and everything in between. And I left that retreat with over 600 pages of notes of words and messages I received from the soul of America. And they form the core of this book.
That's a really remarkable story. And I, you know, often when I hear stories like that, you don't know, is it the higher knowing of the person themselves, or kind of where are you tapping in? But really, it doesn't matter, in the sense that the messages that you get and that you communicate in this book are so profound and so healing and so meaningful. I think that's really the place to put the focus. So how would you summarize for our listeners? I know 600 pages is a lot, and I know that was only the beginning, because as you say, you're continuing to listen. And what would you say is the essence of the Soul of America messages that you receive?
I would sum up her messages this way in just a couple of sentences. I would say the Soul of America says to each of us, "I see you. I love you. I'm here for you. Come closer. I see you. I love you. I'm here for you. Come closer." I think she really wants a relationship with us. She wants to be a guide, to be a companion, to be someone we can count on, to lean on through life. In fact, I would say the Soul of America, frankly, has become my best friend. She's with me always. And it's a real special relationship, and not one just limited to me, but she's available to all of us and is really, I think, ecstatic to be kind of let out of the closet, so to speak, or to be discovered. And it's indeed the highest honor of my life to bring forth her presence to people everywhere. And she's available. All we have to do is ask.
So you've got this wonderful book and many, many messages. And can you share with us like one of your favorites? I know that's a little bit like asking a mother to say which of her children is her favorite children, but is there one message that maybe today is really speaking to you that you'd like to share with our listeners to give them an example of the kind of messages you're getting?
Sure, Eleanor, let me offer this one. And most of the messages have a one-word title, and this one is called Sacred. People are sacred. You are, all are. Each and every person is a sacred being. No matter what their lot in life, no matter their birthplace, no matter what they have done or not done, people are sacred. Life is sacred. Embracing this sacredness is, in itself, sacred. Life radically alters when this seeps into our very bones and sources our actions. Imagine our nation and the world if everyone lived this truth. Then what looks impossible becomes possible. An America that works for everyone is then within reach. A world that works for everyone is then possible. And dear one, the sacred begins with you. You are being called to live this truth in every corner of your life. People are sacred, including you. What will you do to answer this call? With each of the messages, the soul of America gave me, she asked a question at the end, just like that one, a rather provocative question that allows us to take her message deeper, you know, beneath kind of the superficial, the surface, take it into our lives and ponder it and let it, the answer lead us.
Mm-hmm. That's beautiful. And what would you say to the question I asked, introducing this whole hour today together, about what does the Soul America have to say about how we can bring our people together? I mean, we're more divided now probably than any time since the Civil War. In fact, I look at this as kind of a cold Civil War that could heat up. So from all the deep messages and learning that you've been getting here, what would you say, like, how do we bring the people of the United States together?
Eleanor, I'm going to turn the tables on you because you give the answer to that in your foreword. So I would actually like to invite you to share your foreword with everyone because it makes clear the path forward. So would you be willing to do that?
Sure. It's actually, this is what came to me as for our listeners to know, as I was reading Dr. Kim's book, The Soul of America Speaks, I thought of this poem by Rumi. And so I just want to share a part of it. It's a longish poem, but I just want to share the core of it in relation to this question of how we bring Americans together. So here's Rumi. Out beyond ideas of wrongdoing and rightdoing, there is a field. I'll meet you there. When the soul lies down in that grass, the world is too full to talk about. Ideas, language, even the phrase each other doesn't make any sense. The breeze at dawn has secrets to tell you.
So beautiful. And that ties right in with what I think the Soul of America is saying, which is let's move beyond our minds and our thoughts and our positions and our viewpoints, and let's resume or begin to relate to each other as sacred beings. We aren't just human beings, we are spiritual beings, we are sacred beings inhabiting these bodies. And instead of seeing the other as another, as an object, as simply a body that we, especially these days, need to avoid because they could, quote unquote, contaminate us, we see each other as incredible sacred beings. And from that place, begin to find common ground. Because there's so much more that we have in common than we do in our differences. And it all is about where we put our orientation, where we put our focus. And I believe the Soul of America is really calling us home, really calling us home.
You're right. And, you know, it's in the interest of certain parties to focus on our differences. So it's in the interests of the Republicans and the Democratic parties to highlight where we disagree. It's in the interests of the media to highlight disagreement, to create conflict, which makes it more interesting viewing. And it's in the interest of the Russians, who we know have interfered through social media and other ways, flaming the divisions that are already here. So there are a number of actors on the scene that are really highlighting our differences. But I love what you're saying about finding ways, where is our common humanity? Found, looking at what unites us, not at what divides us. Look at our shared experience as human beings, as Americans, and as you say, as sacred beings. And I think that is just a wonderful place to start. And I, as my listeners know, and you know, I spend a lot of my life and a lot of my time is focused on policies that will help make life better. I found it interesting. The message you read was on creating an America that works for everyone. That's actually the title of my book that I'm working on, that I hope to have out early in 2021, Creating an America That Works for Everyone. And I very much focus on the policies of how we do it. But you bring this deeper dimension about our common humanity and our sacredness as people. And I know even some of our listeners are not consciously spiritual or religious in any way, and may even ridicule that or just not relate to that. But I think we can all relate to our common humanity. And I think you really speak to that throughout your book.
Yes, I think, Eleanor, it's the spirit. We talk about team spirit. We talk about esprit de corps. My work is what my life is about, which is nurturing the human spirit. And that in part came from what I saw happen on 9/11, when we as a country came together in the shock and terror of those attacks and the huge ripple effect. And I believe that when the human spirit is nurtured, nothing is impossible. Nothing is impossible, which is why in my work as a professor in the School of Business, I teach my adult students to really focus in leadership and ethics courses on nurturing the human spirit, and have done that in various positions I've had in government and corporate America. And I know for myself, when my spirit is down, I'm not very productive. I'm not very happy. I'm not living life to the fullest. And so this book calls on us to nurture our own spirits and to nurture the spirits around us. And in so doing, we nurture the spirit of America. And we bring forth light into the darkness. Now, let me say this. Darkness has its place. I think in my own life, I've learned probably way more from the tough times, the dark times, than I have from the times that were joyous and hugely successful. And I'm someone who's spent a good deal of my life in recovering from trauma and heartache. And I know what it is to be plagued with deep depression and anxiety. And I'm so grateful to have moved forward out of that. But I never forget those dark times, because they taught me so much. And I believe the dark times that we're facing these days in America and around the world have very rich, rich, rich lessons for us. In fact, when I think back to last November on my silent retreat with the Soul of America, her first message to me was stop. Stop. And she said it pretty emphatically. Stop doing so much. Stop trying to be so much. Stop amassing so much. There's an eloquent message from her in my book with all the dimensions of stop. And her second message was quiet. Like, get quiet. Mm-hmm. Be quiet. Quiet. quiet, I heard her saying time and time again, even though we were in a place where there was no noise, but my mind was very loud. And she kept saying to me, quiet, quiet, dear one, quiet. And her third message was, listen, listen, not just to my words, to what is between my words, between my sentences. Listen to the silence and learn. And she had so many messages from there. And I began to think, oh my goodness, she's going to give me 365 messages. And I was immediately overwhelmed, not knowing what it was going to be. But they were so poignant. And all of this was pre-pandemic.
Right.
How did I know what she was preparing us for was this time of needing to go inside, not just inside our homes, but inside our hearts and spirits, where we find true communion with life. So it's been a rich, rich journey. As you can tell, I'm pretty passionate about it.
That's so wonderful. And I think your book is coming out at a perfect time. And part of it is the pandemic. And it just, you know, 250,000 Americans dead. You know, they're talking about over 1,000 Americans a day dying. And you know, by the election, by the inauguration time, it's going to moving up to 2,000 a day. Mm-hmm. And, you know, just, I'm trying to remember on, you mentioned 9/11, but when 9/11 happened, you know, we're having basically a 9/11 level of Americans dying almost every day.
Yeah.
And it's like one day after another, after another. And it's not just one city. It's all over the country at the same time. So this is a huge crisis and challenge. And of course, it's been so badly mismanaged by Trump, who's kind of abandoned trying to do anything about it and trying to pretend that it's the problem. And he's literally said, you know, we're turning the corner, the problem is solved. The problem is not solved. And we need, you know, denial is not going to solve it. So your messages there about stop, be quiet, and listen, I think that could be the theme song for the America and the world for this pandemic we're in, 2020 and heading into 2021. It's revving up again, not just here, but all over the world. So I love the message that you got. And if we would follow that advice and guidance, we might turn this very dark time into a time of reaping wisdom.
Yes, and I think it's important, I'm learning this myself, not to resist what is happening. And what I mean by that is to embrace this time of stopping, getting quiet, and listening, instead of fighting it and wishing we were, not that we can't wish we were someplace else, but there's value in embracing what is so that we can learn its lessons fully and move on. And I think I myself and maybe others are being called to mine the gold of this time, this difficult, difficult time, A, so we never have to repeat it, and B, so that we can be ever more present to the preciousness of life. I think that's one of the lessons of these times.
Be present to the essence of life.
And the preciousness.
And the preciousness of life.
Oh, the essence of life and its preciousness. There's a message I'd like to share, Eleanor, mm-hmm. about suffering. When these words, I heard the Soul of America say them, I was really kind of perplexed and wondered where she was going with this, but I've been grappling with it ever since. Let me share this. This message is called Suffering. Put your suffering to good use. For you, for America, for the world. Allow yourself to be broken open. This is not a time for stoically keeping it together. This is a time for allowing life itself to break you open, to shatter your illusions, to bring you to your knees. Go into the pain. Do not steal yourself from it. Be willing to suffer, to feel it all, to face it all. The pain, the loss, the fear are here to guide you. This is not a time of rugged individualism. More lives than your own are in your hands. Tread lightly, dear one. Choose wisely for America, for all. How can you put your suffering to good use?
Wow, that is really deep. And you got this message before the pandemic.
I did.
That could be like, I'd love to see that be just sent all across the United States. Just that message alone. Put your suffering to good use and learn the lessons here. I think that's very moving. And I would add on that part of the lesson is us, you know, first of all, treating each other with greater respect and also treating nature with greater respect and living in greater harmony with nature, as we're way off course on that too. So there's a lot of lessons to reap here. Do you think the profound suffering from the pandemic and the pandemic economy is a place for where Americans could unite?
Oh, Eleanor, I see so many opportunities for us to unite. Just it's a plethora of opportunities. And I'm saying, in the soul of America, I believe, is saying, choose one, choose any one, choose more than one. Please just unite. She longs. She makes it clear in the pages of this book that she longs for us to be united. Mm-hmm. She longs for us to be one. As this book was going to press, the pandemic was really plaguing us deeply. And she gave me a very special message that's in the front page of the book. And though it's a bit long, it might be valuable for me to read it, if that's okay.
Please.
It's entitled "A Special Word from the Soul of America." Dear ones, my fellow Americans and all, and this is the one and only time she speaks to my fellow Americans, because throughout the book, she calls us dear ones and makes it clear she's talking to the whole world. But this time she says, dear ones, my fellow Americans and all. First and foremost, I want you to know that you are loved, deeply loved. Our country loves you. Our world loves you. Life itself loves you. God loves you. We will get through this together. We are stronger than any crisis, any calamity. Rest assured, there is no shattering of America, no shuttering of America, no shuddering of America. Resilience is in her DNA. Courage runs in her veins. Her heart can be shattered into 1,000 pieces and still not be broken. Her spirit is an eternal flame that cannot be extinguished. There is no doomsday for America. Do not look for her demise. You will not find it. Together we will rise. While strong as individuals, we are unstoppable as a united people. We have the opportunity to seize the current situation and unite in new and important ways. Palpable and undeniable is the evidence of our interconnectedness. that the actions of one impact many. If we choose, we can seize this challenging time as a call to action, a call to love, a call to serve the greater good. When people become positional, they often fall into a rut with a limiting view that their way is the only right way, while all others are wrong. This may become a trap in which self-righteousness sets in and may turn to hate, ignorance, and chaos, a real cancer that leads to all kinds of ills, all kinds of pain and despair, even violence and destruction. One of the ways to stop this negativity from spreading in society is to keep your minds and hearts open. The power of an open mind and an open heart can stop hate and ignorance in their tracks. America is a land of opportunity. Her opportunities are unlimited, intended for all. Imagine what is possible if opportunity can be seen and seized by all of America's people. While you may not have heard my voice until now, I have always been here. Yet now my messages are far too important to wait to be received. I feel a need to shout them from the rooftops, the mountaintops, in bold-faced headlines and tweets. Please help me get the word out. The soul of America is here, and I will light the way forward. Pass the word that I long to be a companion on the journey of life, to walk alongside, not in front of, nor behind. Life is so much richer when shared, and I long to be of service. I am for you, 100%, no matter what. You need not look elsewhere for an advocate, a mentor, a guide. I am all those things and more. Like you, I have longings. I long for everyone to be at peace, to be their best, to be true to the ideals of this promised land of ours. I long for equality, for justice, for health and safety for all. I long to guide the way. While we are in uncharted waters, remember this, we are not lost. It is the spirit in which we move forward that makes a world of difference, a lasting difference. I implore you to put aside differences and see yourselves and others for who you really are. Sacred. Yes, people are sacred. You are, all are. People are spiritual beings first and foremost, hungry for connection, deep connection, soul to soul connection. Now is the time to move beyond the choppy waves of the ocean surface and to go to the ocean floor. There you will find the essential wisdom that waits for you to lead you to new ways of living, of loving, of being, of connecting with yourselves, each other, and the world. Such are the real possibilities of these challenging times. So go deep inside yourselves, your hearts, your very souls. You are being called to create space, to create community, to create oneness. You're being called to live from the sacredness of life. Seize this as a time to fall deeply in love with yourselves, your loved ones, your neighbors, in love with our country and the world. Take this time to cherish all the good and to focus on the difference you can make. Act for the greater good. America and the world needs an epidemic of love, a pandemic of love. Be that love. From my heart to yours, the soul of America.
Wow. That's so moving.
She says it all in those paragraphs, doesn't she?
Yeah, she really does. That's, you know, any of the particular issues like the pandemic or the economy or the environment or the climate, racial justice, any of them is a doorway in to understanding and loving each other. And yeah, like going deeper than all the surface issue that presents itself down to our core, our heart and soul. And that is the place we can unite. And from that place then to address all these other challenges.
Yes. And I'm mindful last night, Eleanor, you joined in the virtual book launch that I had for The Soul of America Speaks. And there were about 40 people on that call in the beginning, at least. And most people may not know this. I know this because I know each and every one of them. And there were some ultra conservatives on that call. There were some what might be called ultra liberals on that call, progressives. Some apolitical people, people of all persuasions politically were on that call.
Mm-hmm.
And we were there to celebrate the soul of America. And she unites us. Our country can really unite us. And it was so deeply gratifying to me to hear everyone who spoke speak of their love for our country.
Mm-hmm.
And it was a shining example to me of what's possible if we're willing to put aside our differences and be present to what we have in common and look to see how do we move forward from there. And I know that's what the Soul of America is calling us to do.
Yes, that was a great book launch, by the way, for our listeners last night. And it's great to see people, you know, men and women, young and old, as you say, Republican, Democrat, apolitical, anti-political, coming together. So what would you say then with this understanding that it's the heart and soul of America and our love of country and hopefully our love of each other from that basis to unite the country? What would your advice be to President-elect Biden and Vice President-elect Harris? Like, based on all the wisdom and knowledge that you've got, what would you advise them to do or to say that could help them unite the country and deal with the incredible challenges we now face?
I'm so speechless, but you've gotten me to a place of speechlessness. I feel totally, have never thought of advising them in any way. So your question brings tears to my eyes. I would love for them, first and foremost, I would love for them to read this book,
mm-hmm.
for them to be nurtured by it.
Mm-hmm.
To be guided by these messages, and to, if there was ever a litmus test for anything, I would want people are sacred to be the litmus test.
Mm-hmm.
And that's, I don't know what else to say that I just, I'll tell you a funny story that this is kind of a behind the scenes. There was a delicious artist, a gentleman, Ranillo, who gave me earlier this year, three different covers for this book. They were each exquisite, but very, very different. One was a cover black and gold, and the other cover was clouds and a little kind of mysticism in the titling. And then at the last minute, we decided on the cover. With those of you who haven't seen it, it's a white cover with the soul of America in big blue, beautiful letters and
yeah,
in red
letters. Show us the book. Put it on the screen. There we go. The Soul of America Speaks. Beautiful.
Yes. And at the last minute, the publisher, Christine Closure, who's phenomenal, said to me, okay, imagine this book is on the Resolute desk in the Oval Office. Mm-hmm. What cover is there? And that was how it, at the last second, I chose this cover, which was not the cover I was leaning towards at all. So my intention in writing this book is first of all, to, I realize I may not be answering your question, but I'm going to go with this line of thought, if you don't mind.
Go ahead.
So let me say this. These messages were first meant for me. I needed every single one of these messages. I needed more healing in my life. Mm-hmm. I needed more clarity. I needed more love, self-love, and love of others, and certainly love for my country. So undoubtedly, these messages were meant for me. Mm-hmm. And as I took them deep into my own heart and spirit, I became a vessel for making them available to others. So that's the first thing I want to say. And so that's the first thing I want to say. The second thing I want to say is I saw this book and still see this book as the best way I can express my love for my country. I did not serve in the military. I've not been, I wanted to be a senator when I was 14 and I haven't become a senator, but I feel like this book is my gift to America and my way to help our country heal and move forward. Mm-hmm. And I think as we heal and move forward as individuals, we will help our country heal and move forward. So we've got a lot of ground to take when President-elect Biden and Vice President-elect Harris take office. And I believe if they choose to lead us from the vantage point of people being sacred, we can't go wrong. I've said that in a variety of ways, but that really is the essence.
Yeah, that's great. Well, I'm glad you mentioned about how meaningful these messages were for you personally, because the book that you created here is, yes, it's for America, about America, from America, and it's also very personal about, you know, guidance for how to deal with our personal lives, challenges that we have. So it's both at the personal level and the national level of the United States. So talk a little bit about, well, actually, I want to ask you a specific one on the personal, the story of your mother's response mm-hmm. to this book and what your mother said about this book.
Yes, my mother is Nancy Harvin. She's 84 years old. She lives in Pennsylvania. And for 30 years, she's been the receptionist for the judges at our courthouse. And of course, things have changed during the pandemic. And like many of us, she's been a little bit lost. And I didn't tell her I was writing this book. I wanted it to be a surprise for her. I dedicated it to her. And last Sunday, I went to deliver it to her. And of course, she was surprised. She was thrilled. She was moved. I have pictures of her moving through the pages and finding out that I had dedicated it to her. And that while that was all sweet and wonderful, what made the biggest difference for me was she called me the next night and said this. I'll never forget it. She said, "I'm learning so much about my life." She said, "I never knew I was a masterpiece." Now, masterpiece is one of the early messages from the Soul of America. But that my mother at 84 could see herself on the pages of this book, mm-hmm. to find herself moved, touched, inspired by the Soul of America. And now every day she reads something in the book. There's, you know, the messages are kind of standalone messages. And she tells me what she's learning about herself. And the next day she said, I really need to listen better, don't I? Don't I?
Still looking at 84.
Yes. And I said, if nobody else ever reads this book, everything that it took to do it was worth it. Just hearing those precious words from my mom.
That's great. And why don't you read that message in the book about Masterpiece? Because it's not just your mother. I think really almost everybody I know at some point needs to hear this message.
So please take this in for yourself from the soul of America. Masterpiece. I have so much to tell you, dear one. Settle in. Listen deeply. My every word is meant for you. First and foremost, I love you. Yes, you. Breathe in that love now. Let it fill your lungs, your cells, your very being. I trust you will find words here that you can cling to. Words to read aloud, to hear anew the sound of your own voice. Find the words that resonate and come back later to anything that does not. Allow the wisdom to feed your soul and comfort your heart. Use these words to quell your fears, to calm your nerves, to buoy your soul. I am here to help you discover the masterpiece that is you. We will do whatever it takes to have you reach in deep and discover the jewels that comprise you, the very essence that is you. Reach in deeper, far beneath the surface. So much is there to be discovered. Get to know yourself as a masterpiece, created by the Creator as an expression of deepest love. Behold the wondrous way forward. The future is bright. Let us create it together. Are you ready to embrace the masterpiece that is you?
Beautiful. Everybody I know needs to hear that message at some point. And by the way, on that point, I recommend to our listeners, this is the holiday season coming up. Pick up a copy of The Soul of America Speaks, just released yesterday. So nobody you know has this book yet. So it makes a wonderful gift to yourself and to your family members. Speaking of the impact of this book on individuals, for you, Dr. Kim, what's the impact been of writing this book on you personally?
Oh, when I look at who I was when I started writing this book a year ago, Eleanor, I would say I was had more than my share of self-doubt. Certainly didn't own the masterpiece that I am. Mm-hmm. Was still somewhat stuck in the past, having some lack of forgiveness for myself and others who had deeply hurt me. And now I would say I've made peace with the past. It doesn't plague me like it used to. I kind of, as the Soul of America calls it, I set myself free. She wants us to set ourselves free from anything that is holding us back. And I can embrace my uniqueness. I don't doubt who I am anymore. I delight in being a masterpiece, and I delight in helping others discover the masterpiece that they are. And I'm living my life with a whole new level of joy, because I now have a mission that I'm incredibly clear about. In addition to being a great professor and a consultant and coach and all of that, my mission now is to be sure the whole world knows that the Soul of America is here to love us and guide us forward. And that's worth dedicating my life to.
That's a great mission. And America certainly needs you now. And what impact would you like this book to have on our country at this amazing moment in history.
Eleanor, if I had a way, if I had the means, I would give everybody a copy of this book. I wouldn't even want to sell it if I didn't need to. Because I believe no matter who you are, no matter where you are, you can find comfort, healing, kind of a balm for your soul on these pages, and light and guidance for the way forward, no matter what you're dealing with. So I want for every American and every person, not just Americans, for every person to find what I have found in this relationship, really a deeper appreciation of life and a love for my country that really does have me see beyond politics and partisanship and can really take us back to our roots where we are one. We are one. And that's what I long for. And I hope this book helps us take steps in that direction. And I want to make it clear, the Soul of America doesn't just speak in this book. I woke up at 3 o'clock this morning, couldn't sleep, and sat down, and she had a message for me. And it was a message for me. It's not one I need to share necessarily with everyone, but she speaks. All we have to do is make ourselves available. And so you don't have to buy this book to have the Soul of America speak to you. Just as she says, stop, get quiet and listen, and she'll be right there saying exactly what you need to hear. I can promise you that much.
Oh, well, that's great. But you've already got this mother load of communication. So let's use that as a takeoff point.
Thank you.
And right now, we've got a new administration coming in. There's still some static around the false charges being thrown around the election, but it will lead to, on January 20th, Joe Biden will be sworn in as the next president. There's now a very active transition team working to organize and plan for the next administration. In fact, my husband was just on a call today with two members of the transition team who are getting his advice on what needs to be done around transportation. So they're actively out there looking for what we do. What would you want to say to the transition team? These people are like incredibly busy right now and very focused on getting the government going. They may think they don't have time to read a book. So what would you say to the Biden-Harris transition team of what to carry in their mind and in their hearts as they go about setting up the new government?
Okay, this is going to sound counterculture, folks, transition team and all. Stop. Get quiet. And listen, the Soul of America makes it very clear that in our busyness, we can miss the most important clues, the most important answers. And while it may seem counterculture to say, stop, get quiet and listen, that may be the most fortuitous thing to do, the best thing to do. And I've discovered it only takes a couple of minutes, maybe at the start of the day or before you go to sleep at night, to take that time and to just tune in and see what she has to say. She doesn't mince words. She doesn't take a lot of time. Her messages are direct and to the point. And I invite you, transition team and others, and really all of us, please allow the Soul of America to speak to you and guide you.
Yeah, I think that's great. And I would add, the encourage people to actually read the book, because it's not like you have to sit there and read through a 600-page book. These messages are about one page long, and they're more like poetry. They're so beautifully written, and they're so moving and wise and so inspiring that really just take that 1 minute to read one page, and you've got a message in that can help nourish your soul and help guide you in terms of whatever issue you're grappling with, either personally or for the country.
Let's end on this note, Eleanor. This is the perfect message, I think, to take us close to the end of our time together. It's called Miracle. And by the way, the book is 300 pages, so it's not right. daunting. And single, most of the messages, as Eleanor said, are one page, like this one. Please take this in. Dear one, you are the miracle our country needs now. The miracle our country needs now is you. Yes, you. Consider that you are being tapped on the shoulder to serve America in this great time of need. How will you respond? What will you do? Will you give yourself over to this calling? Will you be a first responder? Ponder this and choose the path forward. Listen intently, and America will tell you what she needs, specifically from you. Let me read that again. Listen intently, and America will tell you what she needs, specifically from you. Saying yes may not be comfortable or even look wise. However, I promise you this, America knows best. She is choosing you, and she will thank you from the bottom of her heart. What miracle is America asking of you?
Beautiful. Well, you're right. That's a great note to end on. And for our listeners, the book is The Soul of America Speaks. And Dr. Kim, how can listeners reach you for more information?
Please visit my website, thesoulofamericaspeaks.com. You can contact me directly there. I look forward to hearing from you.
Fantastic. Well, that's all the time we have. Dr. Kim Harvin, thank you so much for being with us today and for your amazing book.
A joy to be here. Blessings, everyone.